In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we welcome you to this celebration service of the homegoing of Georgetta Gannett. I wish you could have been with us at the graveside. The presence of the Lord was just so very real. Joy was there. Laughter. As we said, if there was no laughter there, I would wonder if it was Georgetta's funeral. And the grief that is a part of it, but indeed a witness to God's faithfulness and God's goodness through the life of this dear lady who's been such a blessing to so very, very many of us. We know that Georgetta knew and loved her Lord, and what she's experiencing now is beyond anything we could imagine. But long before she came to this moment, Georgetta made a decision that impacted her life forever, and that was to commit her heart to Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And in their journey, which was not without its peril at times, Georgetta and Alden and their family indeed experienced the grace of God for the moments that they faced. But for that moment of standing into the Lord's presence, which requires that we have stood before the cross and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Because Georgetta had done that, she knew that when this moment came, it would be well with her soul. And that's her witness. We want you to join with us in singing that as a testimony to the life of this lady. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast on me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, thou blear this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well, well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when thy faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound
And the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Georgette and Alden's son, Keith, is going to read scripture. And then we're going to hear some tributes, one from Don Hawkins, who is president of Southeastern Bible College, and then Mary Lynn Gannett Malik, daughter, and then myself, just a few words of witness to the goodness and graciousness of God in this life. Keith.
We're going to read three passages of Scripture. One will be Psalm 23, then we'll read John 12, 1 through 8, and John 14, 1 through 6. Please stand as we read God's Word. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. St. John 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you.
Georgetta Gannett has arrived in heaven, and the place will never be the same. Thinking about her life gives us sort of an understanding of what David, or what the psalmist said in Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Hers was truly a home-going celebration. There is no question about that. And there's so many stories that I would share, that you could share, that members of the family could share. I was thinking about some of those stories as I looked at Keith up here reading the scriptures, and it was like deja vu all over again. I thought Alden Gannett had come back and was standing in the pulpit. When you hear Ron, you'll think the same thing. And Lynn is just the epitome of her mother, virtually a carbon copy. So what a great thing. I want to share three things about Georgetta just briefly. First of all, she was a person of a merry heart and a cheerful countenance. If you look at Proverbs 15, verses 13 and 15, where it says a merry heart does good like medicine, and where it talks about a merry heart reflects a cheerful countenance, that was Georgetta Gannett. You see that smile on her face. And in reality, she was the face of Southeastern Bible College and has been down through the years. She's the prototype of a first lady. She's one of those people who just reflected and showed you what the place was like and welcomed you. She handled the stresses of the dual role of the wife of the president and the assistant or secretary to the president in an amazing way. Those are two major responsibilities, and she handled them with great grace and great aplomb. She loved the college. She loved to tell people about it. And even in recent days, as we talked about some of the future initiatives of the college, she was right on board and very positive about that. She had an incredible sense of humor. I don't have to tell you about her sense of humor. Gary Green, one of our professors, chairman of our Department of Arts and Sciences, told me the first time he met Georgetta Gannett, they clasped hands and shook hands together, and she welcomed him warmly, and he started to take his hand back, and she wouldn't turn it loose. And he tried to get his hand back, and she said, "Alden, Alden, make him turn loose of me." That was the epitome of the sense of humor that Georgetta Gannett had. Not only did she have a merry heart and a cheerful countenance, and I wish I could tell some of the other stories about that, but she had a servant's heart and an encourager's awareness. My first experience, or really traumatic experience, with the Gannett family, and I, by the way, had the label of the red-headed stepchild of the Gannett family, I was in their backyard with Ron and Keith, and they had built a treehouse. We were all in high school, and so we climbed up this rope ladder about 30 feet. And Ron climbed down first, and I made the mistake of getting on the top of the rope ladder before Ron got off the bottom. It wouldn't hold both of us, and I fell. And I remember holding this arm up, and it went this direction and that direction and back the other direction. And I said, "Ron, I think it's broken," and promptly passed out. Well, Georgetta rallied the troops, got everybody together, and had me taken over to the old Baptist facility on Highland Avenue near John Carroll Catholic High School over there, organized a prayer meeting that I think Steve was the spearhead for, and made sure that I was taken care of very well. And when my mother went to be with the Lord back in 2001, Georgetta just slipped right into that role and has filled that role in a great way. When Kathy, my wife, first came to Southeastern back in 1963, from Shreveport, Louisiana, she was lonely, and Georgetta took her under her wing, as she must have done many students down through the years, and shared encouragement and gracious grace. And she's the epitome of Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. She passed that on in a great way. My last conversation with her, where she was able to talk, we were laughing about having red hair. And both of us agreed that people who said, "Did you used to have red hair?" were wrong. It's only a little bit lighter shade. But the thing that stands out to me most about Georgetta was she had a Christ-honoring heart and a humble passion for the Lord. Carmen Phillips talked about how she would take Alden to the airport every Friday when he was going out somewhere preaching. Every Monday she was there faithfully to pick him up, never with a word of complaint. And when Kathy and I visited with her after Alden went to be with the Lord, and she was telling us that members of her family, her children, wanted her to come and live with them, she said, there are too many people in this home who need the Lord. There are too many people who need to be witnessed to. There are too many people who need to be encouraged. God wants me to stay here. This is where my ministry is. She was happy to magnify her husband, happy to magnify her children, her grandchildren, happy to magnify her college, Southeastern Bible College, and happy to magnify others, and most of all, to magnify her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Georgetta was not a Baptist, but she was a lot like John the Baptizer, who said, he must increase while I must decrease.
I have the privilege today to represent the children of Georgetta Gannett in my comments this afternoon. And she had four children. Keith is the oldest, and then Ron, Mary Lynn, and Steve. I was her personal favorite. Okay, so my brothers may want to squabble about that later, but that's okay, because I do think we can agree that we had a wonderful, loving mother and a funny mother. She was very, very loving, and we were blessed by her love, but she was definitely a lot of fun. If we could share stories, I'm with Dawn. I know that those of you who know her have a story. How many of you have a Georgetta story? Let's see a witness of a time that she said or did something that was very memorable. She was very high energy, and the older I get, I realize, how did she do all that? In our growing up years, she was Daddy's secretary because she was the only one who could read his writing. She was married to what we would call today a high-maintenance husband, and she had four children, one with the name of Keith, and there was a period of time that her mother even came to live with us. But, you know, I never felt that she was tired. I never felt that she didn't have time for me. She always was joyful. She was always fun. And our home, our house, was very, very simple. But our home was a very special place that really was surrounded around her personality and the love that she gave us. And we cherished that. And many of you have been missing my mother, because since my father died and she went into assisted living, you haven't been able to see her as often or spend as much time with her. But I've had the privilege to spend many, many hours with her, and I wanted to share with you today really what I have learned or rediscovered about my mother in the last 6 years since I've been back to Birmingham. And really, there are two things. And the first is that my mother was a woman who loved the Lord deeply. And I don't know why I had to rediscover that, but sometimes I think she was in Daddy's shadow a little bit. He was the spiritual giant. And then there was fun-loving mother. But I remember the day my dad passed away, and Jessica and mother and I were with him, and the moment he stepped into the presence of the Lord, my mother was just excited as she could be, not to be rid of him. But she thought, what is he experiencing? And Jessica and I were like, we had never seen such faith. There was not a shadow of a doubt in her heart and mind that he was with the Lord. And she was jealous of him. She really, really was. After Dad passed, she got what she called addicted to Christian radio, 91.9 to be exact. And it wasn't the radio she was addicted to. It was the Word of God. She loved to hear it preach. She loved to hear it read. She loved the songs. She did live with me for 9 months, and during that time on Sunday evenings, there's a hymn sing or something on that station, and one time I slipped into her room. She didn't hear me, and she couldn't see me. And I felt like I was on holy ground. I mean, she was in the presence of the Lord, and I could tell that her relationship with him was so intimate. And she trusted him. And that she does have a favorite hymn we sang earlier today, Trust and Obey. And I think about her macular degeneration. I mean, she went from being able to drive, and of course, it's amazing she didn't run people down. They were like telephone poles to her, to totally being blind in her last days. And she missed things. She missed driving. She missed seeing the faces of her family and friends. She sent me on a lot of chocolate runs during those years. But she never complained. She never went, woe is me. She just said, I wish I could see what I was eating. And we thought, we wish you could too. But anyway. And last but not least, in regard to her love for the Lord, she was definitely fearless in death. If you knew my mother, you knew one of her favorite lines in the last few years has been, I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. And this was sort of a problem when we go see her physician, Dr. Weldon. And so after one visit, I said, Mother, you just can't do that. He went to medical school for years to try to keep you alive. And I remember the last visit, I briefed her in the car. Now, don't talk about going to heaven. Okay, got it, yeah. And we get in there, and Dr. Weldon says, well, Mrs. Gannett, how are you? And she gave me a look like, you think I'm going to listen to you? I'm ready to go to heaven. Not only did she love the Lord, but she loved other people. And her love for others really ran supernaturally deep. Mother had a way of making all of us feel special. And there was a reason for that. We were special to her. If you feel like, well, she didn't know me that well, you were still special. She just didn't forget people. And she cared it. I saw it in the hospital the last week. It was always asking about other people. How was this person's trip? Do you know about this? And on and on. And I'm thinking, I think I'd be more about, I'm really sick here. You know, I may be dying. But for her, she was always focused on other people. And last night and today, a phrase kept coming up. And I was a little concerned because it kept coming up with grandchildren. And that was her unconditional love. And it makes me wonder what they've been up to. But she honestly did love people unconditionally. And there are those of us in this room who hurt her and have disappointed her. But she never gave up on us. She continued to pray for us. She continued to love us unconditionally, and we knew that. And I am personally grateful for the forgiveness and the love that she showed me, and she modeled for me how to forgive others. And there's such joy and such a richness in forgiveness. She was one of the ones in Daddy's audience that got it when he preached about grace. She understood. Jesus summed up the law and the prophets in Matthew 22 by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is what my mother did. She loved God. She loved all of us. And people often say, well, Lynn, you know, you're just so much like your mother. And my personality is a little bit like her, I think. But getting to know her the last 6 years, I realize I'm a long way from being like my mother. But I want to be. I want to love the Lord and know him intimately like she did. And I want to love other people unconditionally. Just like I saw her do over and over again. This is the legacy I believe she leaves with us, her family and her friends, and I will miss her so much. Thank you for coming.
I first ran into the Gannetts as a student in seminary, and then in the mercies and goodness of God through contact with them and through Dr. Gannett, we wound up coming to Birmingham to be pastor here at Shays Mountain Bible Church. And I got to be their pastor all these years. I remember I told the group this morning or at noontime that Dr. Gannett introduced me one time as his pastor, and it was my job was to keep him straight. And I said that was about as difficult as keeping the Mississippi River running south. But as a pastor, you come into contact with all sorts of Christian characters, and Georgetta was one of those, but one of the truly good ones. For me, her arrival always brought sunshine. Smiling, laughing, seeing humor in life's oddities that cause most people to frown. No sacred cows were sacred to her. She could put a humorous spin on of reality on the most staid happenings. I remember one time seeing her in one afternoon, and I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I'm headed to a board meeting. And then she said, B-O-R-E-D. If you're a former Southeastern board member, that's a confession. Her sunshine wasn't manufactured. It erupted from the exuberance of who she was, her exuberance for and her appreciation of life as her Lord had given it to her. And we had this little phone ritual. When I had a reason to call them, I would say, hello, beautiful. And her answer was always, well, you just say that because it's true. And indeed, there was so much beauty there. And the Georgetta I knew never left me feeling I had been dumped on as a pastor or as a friend, but delighting in the warmth of her unique sunshine. But also, Georgetta brought to me sunshine, spelled with an O. Encouraging, affirming, assuring us that she was praying for me, praying for my family, as we went through all the rigors of life and growing and serving, praying for our life, accepting of us warts and all. She did not demand that her pastor be omnicompetent. She was a living illustration of what Paul said about Timothy in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 6. He said, the coming of Timothy greatly encouraged me. And she greatly encouraged because she brought the sunshine with an O as well as the sunshine with the U. And she brought in that sunshine of the Lord Jesus a commitment to me that was obvious without doubt to her man, to her family, to her friends, to us, to our church, to people around her. And no wonder she was so loved and appreciated. But one of the things I loved about Georgetta, that while she was a student of the Word and sought to live in the Word and be obedient to the Word, she did not live in the world of lofty theological discourse. She was a wife. She was a mother. She was a friend. She was a child of God who understood that godliness was lived in the trenches of everyday living. And it was in those trenches of everyday living that she brought her refreshing, joyous character. And we were blessed. Well done, Georgetta. You left a trail of sunshine and sunshine. You will be missed. Heaven's gain.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his shall be whole.
Thank you, Karen. And thank you, everyone, who has participated and blessed our family today in a very special way. My mother is in heaven today, not because of anything she has done. She is in heaven because of a God who loved her so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to forgive her of her sin. And she trusted him and put all of her faith and her hope in him. And today, that's her hope, and that's our hope as well. When we were in the hospital with Mother at the end, I asked her one day when we were alone, we were reading some scriptures, and I said, Mother, do you know you're on your way to heaven? And she said, yes. And I said, are you ready to meet the Lord? And she said, yes.
I said, "Are you ready to see Dad?" And she said, "I can hardly wait." I can hardly wait. My sister and I had the privilege of being the two family members that had the privilege of being with her when she passed away. It was Tuesday morning, and my sister had spent the night, and she's due credit for loving my mother and taking care of her needs over these past special years. And we were in the room together, and my charge was to write the obituary. And so I had written it on the computer, and I said, "Lynn, I want you to listen to this. I'll read it out loud and tell me what I need to change." And after I read the obituary to her, my sister starts to cry and says, "We got to have Mom hear a hymn." And she put on the tape recorder, "Crowned Him with Many Crowns." And as Mother was singing that hymn, my sister turned to me and said, "She's in heaven. She's quit breathing." And the last thing she did was hear her "well done" from her children. She's going to hear a "well done" in heaven. And to sing, "I'm going to crown him with many crowns." And she could hardly wait to get there to do it. Who would ever dream that this dear woman would live to be 87? She used to say she came from a long line of short livers. Her mother and dad both died in their 60s, her brother in his early 60s, her sister in her late 50s. And here she lived to be 87. She said, "It just goes to show you that it's the good who die young." But you know, she maxed those 87 years, and as has been said, she wanted to use them and be a blessing. We never had a neighbor. We never had an acquaintance that wasn't blessed by my father and my mother. You know, you saw some Hershey chocolates in the picture. She loved a good time, and she loved chocolate. She thought she could make a lot of money by writing a book on how to diet on chocolate. One of my staff members in Canada wrote me when he heard that my mother had passed away, and he says, "I remember her telling me one time after I hugged her that I bet you'd never hugged this much woman before." Mother used to complain about her weight, and I said, "Mother, don't worry. I'll tell them at the funeral that you buried all of your skinny friends." She and my dad were a tag team that God put together in a very sovereign and gracious way. They went to a little Christian college, a Methodist school up in upstate New York called Houghton College. My mother saw my dad and asked his roommate, "Who is that guy that wears those black and white saddle Oxford shoes? Who's your roommate?" And she wanted to meet him. And she was told that he goes to an early morning prayer meeting on the campus. My mother got spiritual and went to that prayer meeting. I asked her if she closed her eyes. She wasn't sure. She said after they left that prayer meeting, they came down the stairs, and she remembered her dad, my dad, introducing himself to her and asking her if she'd like to go to a basketball game that night. And they did, and over the course of the basketball game, she said, "I received a theological quiz." He asked her every question about whatever he could ask about the Bible to make sure that she was the kind of woman that he wanted to be involved with. And God put them together, and they were married. My mother's favorite story about being married was at their wedding rehearsal, the minister came to my grandfather and said, "Mr. Salzgiver, you need to slow down when you walk the bride down the aisle." And his response was, "Sir, I need to get her down there before that young man changes his mind." Mother loved going to the Bible conferences, and Dad would always acknowledge his lovely redheaded wife who's sitting over here. And Mother said people would strain their necks looking past her, looking for this lovely redheaded woman, you know, in the room. But you know, Mother and Dad were a tag team, and God knew exactly what Dad needed and what Mother needed, and he put the two together into a fragrance that's blessed the lives of all of us who are here. We had a glorious time this afternoon at the graveside. We had a private family interment, and we put Mother to rest. But as Pastor Mickey said, there was no sorrow there. We shed some tears, we laughed, but we have a great hope, the fact that Jesus loved her. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that Jesus will return for people like my father and my mother. She's been blessed by people like you. We want to thank you for all the friendship you've given to our mother and father through the years, for the way you have sacrificed and been gracious to them. Your attendance today is humbling to us as a family. My mother and dad had the opportunity to impact people around the world. In fact, my dad had the privilege of going to the jungles of Brazil, and while he was ministering there to the missionaries and to the native people, the baby was born, and since my dad was there as a visitor, they asked him to name the child. And my dad said, well, the biblical names like Mary and Martha, and none of those seem to ring a bell in their language. He said, well, my wife's name is Georgetta. And they translated that Shoshetta. And today there's a 50-year-old mother in the jungles of Brazil named Shoshetta. I asked myself, why was my mother so special? Why was my mother so special? I think she was special because of this. When her mother and dad were living in Pennsylvania, they were not Christians. They were not attending a church. A neighbor lady was very good to them, helped with their children, with care with my mother. And one day their church was having some meetings, and this dear lady asked my grandmother and my grandfather if they would go to these meetings. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to have religion crammed down their throat. But my grandfather said, this lady has been so good to us, we need to go to her church. That night, this preacher gave the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that the God who created us is a God who loved us in spite of our sinfulness. He loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And if you'd only trust him and ask for his forgiveness, you would be forgiven and become a child of God. That night, my grandmother says she'd never heard the gospel until that moment. And when the preacher asked people to come to the front of the church, she wanted to go, but she said she couldn't because she had this baby in her hands, my mother. And she said, I can't walk forward with this newborn here. But the Spirit of God so convicted her, she couldn't stay in that chair, and she got up and she walked down the aisle. My grandfather followed her, and with Georgetta in their arms, they gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. And that decision has changed us all today. The invitation of that humble neighbor changed our family's life forever. I wonder on that day at the front of that altar if the God of heaven saw that little baby in the arms of my grandmother and my grandfather and said, I'm going to do something very special with this little child. And he did. He made her a fragrance of his grace, which we are breathing today. That's why my brother read that story of Mary in John chapter 12, who was so amazed at what Jesus had done by raising her brother Lazarus from the dead, and to be at this gathering and to see Jesus sitting next to Lazarus, and the joy so overcame her spirituality there that she ran to the closet. She got a prized possession that she's saving for a special occasion, some alabaster box full of perfume, and she took something worth a year's wages, and she broke it open, and she poured it on the feet of Jesus and bent down and wiped his feet and the perfume with her hair. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told in memory of her. My friends, that Mary of old and our mother Georgetta had something in common. The fragrance that filled the room that touched the lives of many people. When I preached this passage to our congregation, I said, you know, the application for us is to be the air they breathe. Everybody in that room smelled the perfume, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet Mary was a woman before the resurrection of Lazarus. She was afraid and she stayed at home. When they said, Jesus is here, come out. And she said, no. But now, after she saw the power of the living Christ, she was so changed she had to sacrifice and demonstrate her act of worship boldly as a public testimony. And that woman, Mary, was changed, just as my mother was changed when she trusted Christ. And she became something different, a child of God. That's why her favorite hymn that we sang at the graveside today was Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust the God of heaven that he exists and that he loves us and that he is worthy of our praise. And then every day and in every way to obey what his word has to say. My friends, you do that. you will be the man, the woman, the young person that God wants you to be. Be the heir. What's the heir? The perfume here that filled the air in the story was an act of sacrifice. A sacrifice of a bottle of perfume that even Judas was upset about because it was worth a year's wages. And that sacrifice became the air, that perfume, that fragrance that filled the air that everybody could sense. And my friends, my mother discovered early in life that she, like the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give her life as a ransom for other people in the sacrifice and service of her faith to help other people and to be the air that they breathed by the way she sacrificed and graciously loved them. There's a church in Decatur, Alabama today that exists because of her sacrifice. John Cook of Cook's Pest Control called me when I moved to Birmingham to welcome us to the town. And he said, you know, our church in Decatur would not exist if it hadn't been for your mother. My wife and I came to Birmingham and we attended a Keswick conference and God did a spiritual work in our hearts. And we wanted to start a church in the city of Decatur. And they said, you need to go to Southeastern Bible College and talk to Dr. Alden Gannett. And we never heard of the college. And we never heard of Dr. Alden Gannett. And we went up to the college and he wasn't there. But we met his wife, and she said, well, you just sit here and have a cup of coffee, and I'll make sure he gets here. Our temptation, the cook said, was to leave, but she made us stay. And her sacrifice of love for those people today has resulted in a church in Decatur, Alabama. I went to Lakeview School on Southside, and a boy came in our class and failed the eye exam. He was given a prescription, and a month later, the teacher asked him in class, how come you don't have glasses? And he says, my mom says we can't afford some. I went home and told my mother that story, and that boy had some glasses. When she went to visit the home, she discovered that they needed a lot of groceries as well. And she went to the grocery store and stocked their pantry by herself. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is the air that she breathed. For people, for her family, and for you. You know, as I watched my mother deteriorate in the hospital, I was reminded of Paul's words in 2 Timothy 4. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. And I thought to myself, she's really not dying. She's just finishing that race of sacrifice that God had given to her. Be the air they breathe. When Mary did this act of sacrifice, Lazarus and Martha were there. Jesus was at the head of the table. Judas was there. Other disciples and friends were there. Even those who were getting ready to oppose Jesus were there. The whole world in that little sphere of influence was touched by the fragrance of that life. And my friends, like that woman, we all have a sphere of influence where people are sensing the aroma, the fragrance of our lives. And they have a chance to sense the grace, the love of God, and what it means to us. And you know, as I look at my mother, she realized that she had an audience. No one was a stranger to her. Everyone was a friend. Everyone was important. And when she was unconscious in that bed, I turned to a nurse who was taking care of her, and I said, I'm so sorry that you didn't know my mother in her prime, because she was a very special lady. And she turned to me and she says, I know what your mother is like. He says, when they come in here, even at this stage, we know what they're like. We can see it in their countenance, and we can see it in their family. My friends, even unconscious, she was the air that they breathed. I ask you today, why did God allow that little baby to be in the arms of my grandparents when they trusted Christ? Because God wanted to take that little baby and use her arms to embrace people like you and people like me. And today the bells of heaven, I believe, are ringing with joy because one simple woman said, God, I will trust you. God, I will obey you. And I will be the person you want me to be and be the air that they breathe. Where is my mother? Well, Jesus said, and my dad would preach this before at a funeral, she is totally at peace. Let not your hearts be troubled. John 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's a great place that I have for you. It's a great place, not because it's the streets of gold and the glassy sea, or because of the great ornaments that are there, the jewels of foundations and everything there. It's very special because God is at the center. It's like a giant chandelier, and His glory is radiating through the presence of heaven and the beings of heaven. But the best part of heaven, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be as well. My friends, the best part of heaven for my mother today is that she's at peace. Because as Pastor Park said, she walked through the valley of the shadow of death with the Lord who had prepared a place for her. That's why when Jesus was asked a question, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and Lord, we don't know the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman comes to the Father but by me. And my friends, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe the words of Jesus, then you know that He loved you so much that He's willing to go in this passage a few days later to the cross to give His life as a substitute, as a sacrifice for your sin. Why did God use Georgetta to grace our lives? I think He used her to grace our lives because He wanted to turn our hearts back to Him. My mother sometimes would act like it was about her because of her humor, but in reality it wasn't about her at all. It was about the Lord that she served. And there was no greater desire that she had in health or in weakness that others be impacted by her life. Many times in the nursing home, she'd say, Ron, there's just so little I can do. I feel so bad. There's nothing I can do here. I said, Mother, you pray. And every day God will bring people into this room that you can be a blessing to. And my friends, everybody from the other homes where she lived would come to visit her in her new home because they knew she had something special. She was the air that they breathed. The radiance of the glory of the living, risen Christ. I ask you today, do you know Christ? I ask you today, would you have this kind of hope at your funeral? I ask you today, do you believe that there's a God in heaven who cares about you, who's not up there scratching his head wondering what about why He created you, but that He has a purpose for your life, that He has spoken through His word, that He has graciously given His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for your sin, and that if you will only repent and turn to Him, He will forgive you and make you a child of the living God. My friends, I am here to declare to you that if you believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And my mother would have no other answer to a prayer than to see her life and even her death help you to know the Lord she loved. That's why I think her prayer and last charge to us might go like this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourselves always to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it has been to be in your presence today and to witness your grace in the life of one of your children. Lord, I thank you that you allowed my mother to know you, to know your grace and to trust you at an early age. And I thank you for the obedience that she gave in living a life of faithfulness before her family and others. And Lord, we thank you for touching our lives through her. But Father, if there's someone here that possibly just doesn't know you, they're not sure, I pray that right now as we are praying, that they might reach out to heaven and say, "Oh God, have mercy upon me. Oh God, forgive me of my sin. Oh God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Oh God, I trust him to save me today." Father, take the hope that we have today and empower our lives with it in such a way that others sense the fragrance of your grace in us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Georgetta stepped into heaven to the sounds of crowning with many crowns. And as she said, the privilege of laying at the feet of Jesus the crowns that the Lord gave her for being that faithful servant. So she's had an experience that, as we heard, we can only imagine. But in honor of the Lord she loved and served, and in honor of this lady who loved and served him, we ask you to stand with us and we want to sing that hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. Georgetta gets to experience that in reality. We, by faith, give honor to him to whom honor is due. Thank you for joining us following the conclusion and the benediction. There will be a reception outside in the foyer. Please greet the family, share some moments of fellowship, and rejoice in this precious child of God who now is in the Lord's presence. Let's pray together. Lord, to you be all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Georgetta would want it no other way. And to you we offer thanks for the blessing of her life and the joy she brought and the sweet memories. And thank you for the faith that was so real and so practical and lived before us. Now in our hearts, establish a faith strong and secure and that can take the winds of life and of difficulty and still remain as one whose life and joy is found in you. And so from this place in our hearts, take us from here rejoicing in your love and in your grace. And may our lives be that fragrance to others because of the in-living Christ, to whom be the glory, the honor, and the praise forever and ever. Amen.